Good morning, Arizona. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. What a spectacular Arizona Saturday morning it is. Friday night football game last night was the first football game of the year where we actually had some of the folks in the stands with little sweaters and little team blankets around their shoulders. And Flagstaff got its first frosting of snow on the San Francisco peaks here. We've got freezing temperatures up in the White Mountains and in Flagstaff. And we've got the beautiful, absolutely gorgeous desert mornings going on every place below the Mogollon Rim. You're tuned in to the Garden Hour at Rosie on the House. And you know what? I've got something to tell you that's going to take a huge amount of weight off your shoulders. Nothing at Rosie on the House is shut down. Nothing. This is the no shutdown zone right here, baby. So we're going to smack down the shutdown. We're here for you, the Arizona homeowner. Our number is 1-888-767-4348. We are here to take you to your happy place. And in this first hour, that happy place is going to be out in the lawn, in the garden, in the backyard, the front yard. We want to talk about sprinklers, especially now. What do we do with those timers? What fertilization do we have to do this time of year? What are we going to do about mowing, trimming, edging, planning, organizing, planning for the winter? You've got something you want to get tackled outside, give us a ring. John J. Harper from Harper's Nursery is here to join us and answer your questions. Again, the toll-free number, wherever you're listening to us in the great state of Arizona, is the toll-free 1-888-767-4348. John Jay, what have you got for us this week to get the landscape, garden, and outdoor hour going?
Welcome to spring.
Oh, baby.
Oh, it's fall, I mean. Is it spring? Is it fall? What is it?
It's perfect.
It's perfect. That's right. I call it reverse cabin fever. I call it reverse, you know, because we've had the same effect that people back east have all winter, right? It's hot. We don't want to go outside. Back there, it's snowy. They don't go outside. Well, the weather breaks. Boom, we can get outside. And you just went through a whole litany of things to do. That's what makes it so hard to have a tip. So we're not going to have a tip. It's just get outside, plant something.
Amen.
A winter lawn, a vegetable garden, plant flowers in your pots, spruce up that entryway, get that outdoor patio ready to entertain guests. It's the best time to plant trees and shrubs, which get overlooked, I think, because of winter lawns and vegetable gardens and flowers. I think we overlook the tree and shrub planting, and this is the absolute best time of the year to plant trees, particularly because the soil is like an incubator and the weather is cool, and so you get that great combination of warm soils. The trees get rooted. Next spring, they jump out of the ground just like they've been planted a year already, so you've got a great time to do that. So just about anything you can imagine. Now, you mentioned watering. And yes, you should be watering half as frequently now as you were in the hottest part of the summer. Now, you notice I said frequently, not the duration. I keep harping on this.
Yeah.
If you watered for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, you still water for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. Once you've determined the duration to get the proper amount of gallons of water onto your lawn, your trees, your shrubs, your flower bed, that never changes, with one exception: when we're overseeding a winter lawn, we water much differently when we're trying to get something to come up from seed or a vegetable garden. But on established plants, the duration or the length of time we let water run is never changed. It's the frequency. And as a rule of thumb, frequency right now is half of what it was in the hottest part of the summer. And as we move into the coolest part of winter, it will be half as frequently again. And then we change it to twice as often next spring, and then twice as often again. So once you get it dialed in, and it's pretty easy to do. You just got to go do it. You got to learn where that square box is on the side of your house called a timer or a controller, and open it up and make those adjustments.
Well, and then you have to make those adjustments correctly.
True.
I mean, you got to go back out and watch and make sure that it's taking and doing, because maybe it's just me, but I mean, I'll go make the adjustments and then it'll be on the same time it was. You know, I tried to cut down my frequency, still came back on Wednesday. It wasn't supposed to come on Wednesday anymore.
Maybe you need a new timer.
Maybe.
My dilemma has always been the right program, program ABC. You got to make sure you're in the right program. Yeah. Then you go to the station, you look at the duration, and then you go to set day water cycle. And sometimes in the middle of summer, I've got it on every other day.
Okay.
And then I move it to three times a week.
Okay.
And then I move it to once a week.
There you go.
It did take me one season to figure that out.
Okay. Well, you know, at least you figured it out.
I quit trying to use the little gauge meter. Do I want to water 100% or 150%? Because that's duration.
That affects duration. Yeah. It's just the opposite of the way it should be set up. Yes. Yeah. We need to talk to the
manufacturer.
Folks at,
get them straightened away on that.
Yeah. So anyway, while fertilizing, let's talk about fertilizing a little bit. It's getting just maybe a little bit late to fertilize cold-sensitive things like bougainvilleas, lantanas, those types of things. But if you aren't going to plant a winter lawn, are not going to plant a winter lawn, you should probably fertilize your lawn at least one more time. If you have trees and shrubs and all kinds of stuff that is not cold-sensitive, you should be fertilizing all of those another time. Roses should be getting at least one more fertilization after you've kind of groomed them up, cut all the dead growth off, the damaged growth, giving them a little bit of a light pruning, get some rose food on them. Great time to be feeding those as well. And a great time to put pre-emergent herbicide down for fall to prevent those winter weeds that will come up, hopefully, when we get a lot of winter rain. So there's just no end to, you should shut down all of your other plans and do nothing but garden for the next month. That's what I'm for shutting down.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. As we bring Jim from Sun Lakes into the conversation, welcome to the program, sir. How may we help you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a dwarf Trevido orange tree. Planted it about 2 years ago. Last winter, the frost hit it really hard, and I had a lot of dead area on it, so I trimmed that off. Now, on the bottom part of the plant, near the base, I have two shoots that came up, and they're both over 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a little tall for a dwarf tree. Now, my question is, can I trim those off, shorten those up a little bit? Will that affect the plant?
Well, more than likely, those are coming off the rootstock. Do they have big thorns on them?
Let me look.
I just asked this question off air with, because that last freeze last winter, all of my citrus I had to prune down pretty hard. And I remember you saying that, thorns is a sign of rootstock. And sure enough, one of my orange trees, man, they got thorns. I mean,
great big thorn, usually the foliage looks different. It's just a different looking growth.
Okay. Well, both of these shoots do have thorns on them.
Okay. Yeah, those are coming off of the root stock of the dwarf tree, and you might as well cut those off. They are not going to produce the type of fruit that you're going to find desirable. They're taking energy away from the tree, and then you might find that you may not have much left after you do that. So then you determine whether the tree is worth keeping or not.
And those are coming up off the suckers of the roots right next to the main trunk of the tree. He goes down right to the root and just, where does he trim that?
They could be coming right out of the trunk or out of the actual, right out of the graft or below. They may not necessarily be coming off of the root.
Okay.
But it is, the root stock has roots, and then it has a stem that comes out of the ground, a single trunk. And then on that, they cut that trunk off at maybe 2 or 3 inches above the ground or the pot when they're grafting it, and then they graft right onto that. So there's usually a little swollen spot or a wide spot in the trunk, and then from there up is your desirable fruit or plant. So what a lot of times happens is that rootstock growth will come right out of that graft. Right out of that bud union.
And so for Jim, it's following that sprout right back to where
it comes off the main trunk.
And then you're getting right up to the main trunk and you're skinning it. You're leaving a little open wound, probably down near close to the ground. Is there anything we need to treat that wound with?
Not necessarily.
Good.
Not necessarily, but cut it off. Don't do damage to the main trunk. Cut it off fairly close to the main trunk, but leave what we call a little bit of a collar.
when you prune it. And you know, and then evaluate what's left after you do all of that.
From what I've noticed, there doesn't seem to be a standard of grafting size from all the plants we've treated. I mean, it could be 2 inches. The pistachio trees we have, they're like 18 inches above ground.
Oh, you mean from how high up
where the graft is going to be?
Right. You know, practices can vary. And, of course, with dwarf trees, it's going to be much closer to the ground because, you know, they're going to be a lot smaller tree. As you get into some of the grafted shade trees like pistaches and Fantex ashes and some of those, you might find that is higher up.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And you mentioned that this is a great time to plant trees. So if he cuts that down, finds out all he had was rootstock grown, he's got no good tree left, is it worth leaving it in the ground while it's rooted and see if something sprouts that's good? Or should he just go ahead and get a new grafted plant for $20 and put it in the ground? Or what's a grafted citrus tree?
Probably closer to $50. But it's still, you know, he's lost 2 years probably worth of growth.
Oh.
So, you know, and it may not come back. So if all that's left is basically just a little bit of trunk, I'd probably be for new plants. And the dwarf citrus are on their way. Probably 2 weeks, everybody will be getting their dwarf citrus in.
And where do those come in from?
The true dwarf citrus that we buy in come in from Central California. There's a lot of local grown Yuma citrus, and we like the Yuma folks, but these genetically dwarf, if that's what he's after, generally those are coming in from California.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We're in the garden with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery, back right after this.